I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah.
And welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast.
I won't change my mind because I don't have to, because I'm an American.
Yes, you are. And I'm Wesley Sykes. Through the other side of the ether is the Barry Allen to my Barry Allen. It's Nicholas J. Eskfryer, ADHD kid for hire.
Oh, man. Well, greatest comic book movie ever made. My God. Goodness, I don't know how we go on from here. Like, why does James Gunn even try and redo the DC universe?
Nope. It, I think if the podcast ends here, I think we've seen it all. We've talked about it all. We've heard it all. This will do it. 226 episodes in the bag.
Yes. Nice round number, of course.
Yeah. We'll just play that nice end sounder here because that's the end of the podcast.
Why are we playing this already?
I was going to say, or maybe it's just the collective fandom getting their shit pushed in by Hollywood and James Gunn on that there. We're starting off graphic on the podcast right from the top. And if you haven't guessed already, this week we're talking about The Flash. We'll get that sounder maybe a little higher up there for the main segment. Starring Ezra Miller, Michael Keaton, and Sacha Cali. I think I pronounced that last name right. But before that, Nick, would you pay upwards of $200,000 to go into a sub and tour the wreckage of the Titanic at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean?
Would I pay that much to do
Correct.
That? No, you couldn't. Like, you can't. You have a tough enough time getting into like the ocean. Period. The bottom of the ocean. No, thank you.
What would you pay?
I wouldn't pay anything. I wouldn't want to do it.
Oh, so now it's going back around. Okay, so now maybe $10,000 to pay to give to you, tax free.
Tax free.
Uncle Sam's doesn't know about it. Nope.
Yes. No, I don't think I could do it for $10,000. I think I'd need, honestly, Wes. I think I'd need. To go maybe I at least 10 times that, seriously. I hate the ocean. Like, I like water, don't get me wrong, it's great. You'll see me drinking it during the show, but mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man, like open water is terrifying, and then you go down to the bottom, there's just so much freaking shit down there we don't know about. But you're more fearless than me when it comes to this, so I'm assuming you might do this?
No, I would not. And just a little note to the listeners at home and viewers at home there, you cannot drink water out of the ocean. So I don't want that comparison to be made there. Nick's talking about filtered water, I'm sure. But no, I asked this question. I wouldn't do this. You can't put me into a pressurized hot box, essentially, and just sit me down miles in the ocean just with nothing around me there. No, that would freak me out. But I asked because a couple of people paid upwards of $160,000 to $200,000 to do this tour of the wreckage of the Titanic. And now their submarine, their vessel has gone missing.
No, it has. See, exactly why. Nope. No, thank you. I am all set with that. What the hell got them? Was it the ship itself that just went down?
Or maybe it was an iceberg. Who knows?
Maybe.
It's right ahead.
No, we have global warming. They've taken out all the icebergs. Jeez, that's a good call, though. But, screw that, man. Like, that's terrifying. So many freaking scary sea stories lately between the stuff that happened in Egypt recently that you showed
right?
me.
Yeah.
And then this. Oh, man, no.
Well,
thanks.
It's really just programming to get people to stay out of the water and to not get the full healing properties of the ocean. Have you ever purified your bodies in the water of Lake Minnetonka, Nick?
Can't say that I have, but I do know that salt water is supposedly good for your skin. Don't take my word for that, everybody.
No, it absolutely is. When I have poison ivy, you take a little dip in the ocean. That helps.
Oh, okay. There you go. So I'm 50% right now so far on my water.
There we go. You're 50-50. And of course, 70% water. Right,
yes.
Isn't that? Yeah. I'm good with numbers here. I'm good with numbers.
Yeah.
But I think the real story behind all of this is that, you know, what powerful decision makers of the world were on this submarine? Because we're all familiar with the theory of the Titanic and the relation to the Federal Reserve.
I don't think I am. We haven't done a West's Stay Woke.
Well, I believe the Astor family and a few other big American tycoons were on this ship, and they were big decision makers. They had maybe ruling control of the country at the time, and they were in opposition of the Federal Reserve. And I believe it was the Rockefeller family that's maybe alleged to have set this ship into to have it go down. That it wasn't really an iceberg, but it was just it was really an inside job so that they could start the Federal Reserve and not get his pushback.
Wow,
interesting, okay. Interesting yes. stuff. Yeah. I might be kind of missing some details there, but that's the general gist of it. So,
yeah,
you know, if this submarine was going to visit the Titanic, maybe that was just another like easy, hey, if we can get Bezos on there right now, you know, we can take over Amazon, that sort of thing.
I mean, you think that we probably wouldn't, if it was like important people, like not like significant people in the world, like decision makers and stuff like that, we wouldn't know right away, probably, right?
No, I don't think so, right? Because like, I think those people tend to move in the shadows anyway.
That's actually a very good point, yeah. So like there's the important people in the world, and then there's like the really important people in the world.
The people that they work for, you know, it's like the deep state, Nick.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the whole message I was trying to get across when I went down to D.C. on January 6th, you know. People just weren't listening to me, though.
Good Lord, Wes.
I had a bullhorn and everything.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's good, yes. You just love to go. I'm going to start calling you Icarus, you know that?
Yeah, flying too close to the sun.
You really do like to do that.
You toe the line every now. You got to know where it is. You know, you just got to make sure it's there a little bit. Push that open window a little bit over to the side.
Yeah, apparently. Anyways.
Let's switch gears here.
It's morphin' time!
Over to trending now, Nick.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Found this on Twitter. This looked to leak a little bit early. I think I saw earlier in the week that we were supposed to be getting this on Wednesday, but nevertheless, we got this just before showtime as a crow flies. The Kraven the Hunter trailer starring Aaron Taylor Johnson leaked. And what'd you think? I think you could even go see the full Red Band Rated R trailer too, where he bites off a guy's nose and spits it back into a windshield.
That's
also out there as well.
I thought that's what I saw. That's what I thought we saw in our chat. That I remember seeing him bite someone's like face off in some capacity. So
there's two of them. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, so look, the whole Kraven the Hunter thing, we kind of talked about how it's like kind of an odd idea to go and do this, but clearly Sony's trying to absolutely maximize on all things Spider-Man as best as they can.
Well, they own it, right? So they might as well, yeah.
Yep. So it is quite annoying because Spider-Man does have some cool villains, but they can only do so much with Spider-Man, obviously the MCU and everything going on. So going into this trailer, I'm like, this is going to suck. And I actually kind of enjoyed it. Like visually, I thought it was pretty good. And it was like, okay, like I know they're gonna mess with the Kraven story because like he's a villain, and you're gonna make a full story about a villain. As much as I would be all totally here for it, so yeah, I mean, like I was like, this is promising. I will at least give it that.
Yeah, this seems and it seems really interesting. I think this is gonna be hurt by being attached to the Spider-Verse more than anything, because just like you're saying, they're gonna make these weird allusions to it. You already saw it in the trailer with a bunch of spiders falling down on him at some point, and they'll be like, "Oh, Spider-Man, when is he gonna be in here?" You know, we got that with Morbius, we got that with Venom, and it's like all these allusions to some sort of a Spider-Man. So I think that's what's going to make me more down on it. But like you said, this is a great trailer. I really enjoyed it. It looks exciting. This feels like it has a is it the Huntman? What was the Northman? That was it.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. It kind of gives me like a Northman meets like, I don't know, like Extraction kind of shooting, like action type of movie vibe there, where you're getting the best of both worlds of like that hunting kind of primal aspect. And then you get some cool, you know, updated modern tech there to kind of hunt with too. So I think that's cool. You know, we get some allusion to the Rhino. That's not going to be Paul Giamatti in a mech suit. So that's going to be an improvement over anything.
Yeah.
But again, like, I'm not sure how well that's going to play.
Yeah, I don't know. But that did look like it does make sense to have him and Kraven in some capacity go at it, especially if you're trying to make Kraven somewhat of a hero. So I'm interested in that. But you raise a good point. Like the comp that you did, the Northman versus or meets Extraction, that I absolutely would say that's the vibe I got when watching this trailer. That's a really good call.
And they do, and both of those movies have done well, you know, in their respective zones there with Extraction 2, right? Isn't that like just coming out or just came out on Netflix? Yeah.
It's been out for a short bit. I don't know exactly how long. Yeah. But you know what? It's funny too. You bring up The Northman and it's like that came out earlier this year. Did it not?
Yeah. Last year.
Was it last year?
I think so. I thought it was early last year, around like March or April last year.
I'm going to check that real quick. Because I feel like that was...
Shout out Polar Seltzer. Free ad.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
That was that burp, courtesy of Polar Seltzer. You look that up. I'm going to switch gears over to our next topic in trending now.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Found this via our guy, Casey Walsh. Hashtag Casey was right. Tom Cruise is rumored to be courted in James Gunn's DC. Perhaps that's why he sent out one of those hostage situation like tweets saying that The Flash was the greatest movie ever. But what do you think about this just on its face? Tom Cruise in a superhero movie.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. I know there was all the hype about, like we talked about before, was it Multiverse of Madness?
Mm-hmm.
Or
Iron Man, yeah.
Yeah, having him as Iron Man, where it's like one appearance. Okay, cool. I think in DC, like, you know, I'm sure there's a role you can find for Tom Cruise. The only issue that I have in any time we're talking about bringing in a big time star into certain, you know, properties is, okay, are we just going to see this actor there and not the character there?
Right.
Like if it's a character that I don't care about as much, like Ant-Man, right? Didn't care much about Ant-Man, certainly not Scott Lang's Ant-Man originally. All right. So I'm fine with having Paul Rudd thrown in the mix and it's obviously worked out very well, but if I go and have Tom Cruise play a certain DC character, am I going to see Tom Cruise or am I going to see the DC character? That's my biggest concern. And there are some characters I think he could take on where I'm not going to feel that way. Like I think Wesley B, a formerly of the Boxers podcast, wrote on Twitter, Lex Luthor. That's a character who, if he did that, I could see that. Like I would see Lex, like this is Tom Cruise playing Lex Luthor, not just this is Tom Cruise. Like,
I like that. My mind immediately went to, I think, as well as the rest of the internet, went to Hal Jordan, not Hal Gordon, Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern, right? Because he's that fighter pilot. He obviously has the Top Gun connection there and the history. Kind of has that similar look with like that bird arched nose that would sit over the mask. Well, like I could visually see it, but I don't think I would like it. I think in that one-off scenario where he was Tony Stark in our minds there for Multiverse of Madness, I could wrap my head around that as a one-off situation. Like, that's really cool that you got a big actor for. But to have someone to be one of your tentpole, which we all imagine the Green Lantern is going to be. I think that's going to be a TV show, though. So Tom Cruise isn't a TV actor.
No, but I think that might be one of the animated ones. That might be Jon Stewart, but I could be wrong. But either way, there's a way that it could work with Hal Jordan. And he's like, if you don't want to have Hal Jordan be your primary Green Lantern, because there have been other Green Lanterns over the years, and maybe you want to have Jon Stewart be your primary Green Lantern. So it could, if you were going to have Tom Cruise start things out as Hal Jordan, then it could work. But at the same time, this comes down to like one of those things where it's like, okay, he's going to play Hal Jordan. So basically we're just going to see Maverick in the DC.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing that I would think would be interesting, of course, is he does his own stunts. So what he would be able to bring to enhance the CGI kind of artificial mentality of all of these superhero movies, maybe you can get a little bit more practical with it. And that could bring a different element, different cool element visually. But on its face, I'm not a big fan of it, but the Lex Luthor thing is kind of interesting too.
Yeah, no, I think that one would work pretty well, but I'm sure there are other characters who we're not thinking of, you know, on the surface.
Yeah,
and I would be totally fine with, again, like if you do a Momoa or, excuse me, a Paul Rudd type of situation where it's like, these are characters who we know we're very well aware of these characters, but we really don't care a whole heck of a lot about them. You go and have Tom Cruise play, and it's like, okay, it's Tom Cruise kind of doing cosplay and then being in DC. And then it's like, okay, now this character may get amplified and now we see it a little bit differently. So there's a way it could work. And I do trust Gunn to figure out a way to make that work, but I'm not like, oh God, this has to happen.
I'm with you there. All right. One more bit of news.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Jeez, I'm so gassy. I'm just burping up a storm here. This is coming from Variety. and pretty much every other major outlet. This was big news last week. Big changes to the MCU lineup and a whole bunch of other movies, mostly due to the writer's strike here. But I also think that's a bit of a gift to the MCU here, because when we were first introduced to all of these slates, I think we were supposed to get Secret Wars and Kang Dynasty in like 2 or 3 years. And I'm like, well, that's definitely not happening if they have all these other movies to get to. But nevertheless, here's the updates here. We have Deadpool 3 moving up to May 3rd, 2024 from a November 11th of that year release. So coming a little bit early there. We have Captain America. Not only is it a name change from New World Order to Brave New World, but it's pushed from that May 3rd, 2024 slot back to July 26th of that year.
So not too bad when you look at those two specifically.
Not too bad. What do you think about the name change?
I don't get it. Like, I when I think of New World Order, as much as I'm not a wrestling guy, that is what I think of. But I don't know. Maybe they're trying to, like, I don't know. Maybe trying to get less grim.
I think Brave New World is too similar to Batman, the Brave and the Bold, which also has like a soap opera-y type of feel to it.
Do you think that that's potentially, you think that DC, that Marvel's trying to like undercut DC with that?
I don't know, because that's so far off whether it's coming. Yeah, there's no way that movie is coming around July, you know, this time next
year. You're right. Yeah,
you know, but I think it's in my mind, that's where it goes. I'm like, that. I don't like the conflation of the two.
Yeah.
The Thunderbolts gets pushed from that July 26th slot in 2024 all the way back to the December 20th of the year, that being the last film of 2024 from the MCU. Then Blade comes in with a February slot, February Valentine's Day, February 12th, 2025. That was supposed to come out in September 6th of 2024, so that gets pushed back a little bit. We know that pilot project has been in development hell there, kind of changing through a couple of producers, directors there. Then the Fantastic Four, which we just got announced with the castings, although Margot Robbie may be out. I think someone else may be in, but you know, everyone else, you're getting Adam Driver there. You're getting the Irish guy that we talked about. And David Diggs, I believe, is doing the thing.
Wait a minute. They confirmed all of that?
I believe so. Yeah, I think that's all confirmed.
I don't remember seeing anything about. I'm seeing right here Vanessa Kirby talking about possibly being Sue Storm.
Yeah, there was someone else. I think Margot Robbie might be up in the air at the moment.
Okay, all right. I don't remember. Okay, all right. Anyways,
those other three, I think it's confirmed.
Oh yeah, here we go. The casting, yeah, casting report. That's again. It's the Vanessa Kirby stuff. I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I got a catfish there, but nevertheless, a couple more things there. I know this is riveting stuff. Avengers Kang Dynasty gets pushed back from May of 2025 to May of 2026. And then Secret Wars gets pushed back to 2027. Again, this seems right. This feels what it should have been all along. I don't mind them pushing it back. Obviously there's some outside factors contributing to this, but what it really just makes me hate is Kevin Feige getting on a stage 3 years ago and telling us that all this stuff is coming in 4 years, 3 years. And I'm like,
yep.
All right, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hopefully they learn from this, but there's definitely like you said, there's a lot going on with Marvel right now. A lot of off the field issues that where now they need to they're definitely going to have to consider making some adjustments as things kind of play out and develop. But yeah, the writer's strike obviously is what's, like we said, it's done them a favor. And I feel like I could be wrong, but we always hear about the writer's strike, but there were supposed to be other strikes going on too in some capacity.
Yeah, I think the director's strike was pretty short-lived. I think they cleared that up maybe within a day. And now or maybe it was the actors. I think both of them were supposed to be going on strike over the same stuff. I think it's over streaming.
And
residuals and AI stuff.
And the writing is still going on as far as you know. God, that's so annoying. Wow, that's really disappointing. Like on multiple levels, because I remember when the writer's strike started that there were reports that directors and the actors were supposed to be doing a joint thing with them.
And I think one of them, I don't know, crossed the picket line or whatever, settled, and then another one, I'm not sure about, but I could have sworn, yeah.
Well, that's disappointing to hear. It's good, yeah, like there
we're,
was
we're missing there's... out on all this great late night TV.
Well, no, I just want the writers to get taken care of. This is getting annoying.
At what point do you turn on the writers, though?
At what point do I turn on the writers?
Well, not you personally, but like maybe the general, like obviously they have the favor of the general audience, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it's just time would do that with anything. But the other thing is like, if they're getting,
well, that's
like,
my question.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you meant like, cause the other thing is like, if there was a report that there's a legitimately good offer out there from like everybody else's perspective, then that would be an easy, like people,
they don't take it. Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Yeah. When you start to get greedy.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of my thought from timing perspective. I don't know, man. I think it's when you just start getting not enough, like the movies just run dry, you know, everywhere. Like the new content.
Yeah, when you hit like a pandemic level dry spell.
Yeah, so maybe the fall.
When Tiger King starts taking over the nation.
It just feels so niche-y, like of a thing that I don't know if the average person's ever going to care that much. It would be like us.
Yeah.
It would be the people that kind of care.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's true. Even that, anyways. I don't care.
Right.
It's like I care, like, hey, good luck, but that's about all you're getting out of it, you know?
You told me you care a lot.
Well, yeah, I do. But it's behind the scenes, but I had to keep up this tough exterior shell. Mm. You know, this is, I got a tough guy persona I got to live up to.
Yeah, I thought you were trying to go for more Rosamund Pike, but that's just me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I care a lot. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
what. No, I don't care about her a lot. She can rot in hell.
That was a reach on my part, but because you watched that a few months ago or so, right?
Oh yeah, no, she was vicious. I still once I made the connection, all that hate just came rushing back over me.
It's morphin' time.
Ah, a superb choice.
Okay, so the comic book minute this week from Image, we got King Spawn 23, Rogue Sun 13. From DC, we got Nightwing 105. And from Boom, we got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers issue 109. But I would say the real story in the comic book world this week is the fact that Joe and I don't actually have an interview lineup this week. So we are doing a mainline episode. We went six weeks in a row with interviews, which is great, but Joe and I do like to do mainline episodes every once in a blue moon. So Joe is going to be talking Scott Snyder's Superman Unchained, and then I'm going to be talking about a Boom book called Harrower this week, which is basically like a slasher horror story. And I'm telling you, man, like I read this thing, it was so good. If this doesn't somehow get turned into a movie, I mean, I just don't know what Hollywood's doing, like in terms of like, you know, taking comic book properties and trying to turn them into something else. Because again, we say all the time, like there's plenty of obviously superhero stuff, but there are a lot of other good stories in comics, and Harrower is a great example of that. So it's absolutely made to be a movie, written to be a movie. And I would love to see it, like, you know, even if it's on Netflix, but it could be fine. It could be done on Netflix with a low budget and still be fine. But it has big screen material, in my opinion.
Harrower,
yes.
See, I would have pronounced that the horror, and that, see, I just can't do that. Howrower.
Wow, you can keep going. We just have the big
Harrower.
Harrower. That's how I heard someone else say. That's how I read it originally. So going based off
just
that.
Have like a bunch of food in my mouth. Horror.
Yes, but I will say for everybody too, Rogue Sun, if you're talking about single issues, that probably right now is the front runner for my favorite book of the week. It's always up there whenever I'm reading it. King Spawn also some awesome shit. So a lot of good stuff still this week. Obviously those are just four books, but we'll talk about it more on TLDR later this week.
I love it here. Now let's get into the main topic.
It's morphin' time,
where we're talking about the Flash. Still sucks. That's my fault there. You know, I'm trying not to wake the baby when I'm recording this. I'm ripping him off YouTube here, you know. I'm going to blame the baby.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's the baby's fault, yeah.
Interesting. You are just all over the place today. Feeling delicious, apparently.
What's the synopsis for this movie?
Barry Allen uses his super speed to change the past, but his attempt to save his family creates a world without superheroes, forcing him to race for his life in order to save the future.
Yes, this is written by Christina Hodson, one of the minds behind Birds of Prey, and something named Joby Harold. Joby. This is directed by Andy Muschietti, who's the director of It. I didn't know that. Good for him. Oh. That's cool stuff. I think both of them. I think It and the prequel thing.
Oh.
But anyway, not a big horror guy, so that's just me.
Right.
Starring Ezra Miller as The Flash and Barry Allen times two. Yeah. Michael Keaton as Batman Bruce Wayne. We have Ben Affleck as Batman Bruce Wayne. We have Sasha Calle as Supergirl or Kara. We have Michael Shannon as General Zod. Ron Livingston as Henry Allen. Shout out Ron Livingston from Office Space. Makes a nice emotional return here after killing it in one of the cult classics of our era in Office Space. But nevertheless, we come across this name here, Antej Trau, playing the unforgettable Fora'ul.
I think that's Zod's right-hand woman.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Kiersey Clemons is Iris West. Maribel Verdú is Nora Allen. Quick quiz for you, Nick. Pop quiz. Which spicy Latina mother did you like more, Miles Morales' mother or Nora Allen?
Nora Allen very much felt more, they were both good. I like the Nora Allen's mom, maybe it's because it's live action, but she teared at heartstrings a little bit, I think, in this.
Oh yeah. I was just talking about, looks wise. Like, well, who would you rather bone?
Well, I mean, apparently I'm like the hentai fan of the DSG. So I guess we know my answer there.
Oh, I'm right there with you too. I'm going Mrs. Morales all day.
So stupid. It's freaking Mac and Goo. I blame them for that shit. Anyways.
And last but not least, Jeremy Irons is Alfred. We have a whole bunch of cameos here. This is, of course, a spoiler-free podcast. Do you think I should run through them, or do we just have...
Spoiler filled. Filled.
Did I say free?
Yes, you did.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was a lie.
Yeah.
Spoiler-filled podcast. So let's
just kidding. I still hate you.
Yeah. If you haven't clicked off yet, you know, just know you're about to get spoiled. Cameos and appearances by George Reeves, Superman, Adam West as Batman. This is stock footage. Christopher Reeves as Superman, as well as Helen Slater's Supergirl. I believe that was CGI recreated, though. So a little different, not just the stock footage there. Nicolas Cage as Superman. Wow, how cool was that? George Clooney as Batman Bruce Wayne, and Jason Momoa as Aquaman.
Yes, of course. save the best for last.
Did you stick around for the end credit scene?
I did. How disappointing was that one? That was an all-timer.
Again, that was something I was spoiled on, so I was like, I don't care about that.
That'd be a tough one, but that, like, an episode that we could do would be like tears for
like best and worst thing. Yeah, end credits, that's good. I like that. Yeah. That's a good one. We'll file that one into the old Tickler Fire file. Wow.
Okay.
Tickler Fire, that's you don't want to mess with that.
I don't know what you're trying to say, so I'm just gonna keep going. As for the critics, so this hauled in, we've seen a lot of the numbers thrown around and everything, but Wes, you tracked down 139 million worldwide, 64 million domestic in its first weekend, received a 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb, and then it has a 67-86 split on Rotten Tomatoes, 3.8 out of 5 on Google reviews, with 86% of Google users liking this movie. That math doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I can see this here, because again, you get sold a bill of goods, so maybe you're not crazy about it, but at the end of the day, if it's a binary option, like, yeah, I like the movie.
Okay, but I feel like fine. Okay. Anyways, now as for our rating and review, Wes, what do you give The Flash?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with the Google audience. This is an 85 out of 100. This is an enjoyable summer blockbuster that I don't think will age very well and feels fairly inconsequential, but I think they did some really good things, and they had some nice fan service and member berries throughout, but ultimately we're bogged down by a litany of off-screen happenings.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into.
And you said your grade was?
An 85. 85 out of 100.
So when I first saw this, I was right there with you. I looked at it and said, this is anywhere from like an 82 to probably an 86. But as I sat with it a little bit more, I saw it a couple days ago, and I was just like, I got to go down a little bit. So I went down to an 83 out of 100. Good, but far from great. Whoever thought to put Keaton in this movie deserves a raise, because when he showed up, the entire movie shifted for me.
It really took off at that point. That was like at the round, I don't know, 30, 45 minute mark, I would imagine. And then the whole movie really lifts off from there. So I agree.
It felt like it was closer to an hour for me, and I'm not saying it who's right or wrong, but that's what it felt like. Mm-hmm. So if that's what it felt like, that's not – and it was actually like the 30 or 45 minute. 45 is not as bad, but 30, that would be bad. That would be really bad.
But although it's like two hours and 25 minutes, so I didn't think it was that long. I kind of enjoyed the ride throughout this.
Yeah, like the second half, it just kind of flew by for me. The first one, I feel like I had some moments where like, oh, this is interesting, but then it's like a lull, and then it's interesting, but then there's like a lull. For me, like the first half was like a high C, and then the second half was like, you know, high B. So that's kind of how I ended up at that grade. So
okay, well, I see that there. Yeah, absolutely. So let's hop into the exit survey, Nick. Point blank, was this the best comic book movie of all time?
No. No, not even close. Like, no. I just don't get why that needed to be put out there. It's just like, it's good. Like, you know, and I do wonder how that would have impacted. Actually, you know what, Wes? I think it wouldn't have impacted your expectation, your view of this movie afterwards or mine. I'm going to give us both a little credit here because we've said the whole time, this is, if they're saying this, that can't be a good thing.
Right. No, it all felt stock, like they hired a bunch of bots to take over, you know, all these famous celebrities' accounts and just tweet out the same thing. So it didn't. Again, you know, it's still the Dark Knight and the Christopher Nolan series. I think it's still the pinnacle of DC movies. Even Matt Reeves as the Batman is up there too. But this is not, you know, I still like Man of Steel. I'm not sure if this is better or worse than Shazam. This is better than Shazam, I think.
The first one?
Yeah, I think so.
That's not how I felt, but it's I don't think it's too far off.
It's there though. Yeah. But it's not, I don't know. I'd like Justice League better than this.
The Snyder Justice League I liked more than this. The Batman I liked way more than this. Mm-hmm. The Suicide Squad I liked way more than this.
Yeah, that I was forgetting that. Yeah, for sure.
I like the original Wonder Woman way more than this. Harley Quinn was better than this. So yeah, there's quite a few that were definitely superior. Although I know the Batman is not part of this
universe
or whatever.
What'd you think of Ezra Miller's The Flash, the Flash is?
I didn't finish The Flash show on CW, but I did watch some of it and it was good. Like, I'm just not a big Flash guy in general, but I do like Grant Gustin's version of the character more from what I've seen. It's just like,
didn't make an appearance in this at all, right?
No, it would be nice if he was like the Flash on both ends, and with what's going on with Ezra Miller, it would make a lot of sense. But my thing is, like, obviously the kid was a lot, but even Ezra Miller, like Barry Allen before he met the kid, the younger version of himself, he is kind of a lot. And what was so weird to me too, as I was talking with Lauren about it afterwards, because she likes Grant Gustin's Flash a lot. She watched the show a lot more than I did. Like, he with Ezra Miller, the first portion of the movie before he goes back in time, he's kind of like he's like awkward Barry. Then he gets into this crazy situation, and then he's like normal Barry. Like, he's like down to business and like
suddenly mature and like comes with all this, like,
and then kind of reverts back to it afterwards. So it's just kind of strange to me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big Ezra Miller fan. This is the only thing I've seen him in. I liked him in Justice League, but you know, I don't think he's a leading man. I think this kind of proved it for me. I don't know where he was, what other things he's done. Maybe I'm speaking out of place here, but I thought he was a good change of tone and comedic relief in Justice League. And he could probably be a good character actor because I really enjoyed the emotional beats that he hit. I thought he did a good job with that, with his family. I kind of felt that a little bit more, you know, but the, all the comedic elements just felt a little bit forced and iff. Not all of them, but a good majority of them.
Yeah, I mean, I found the other Barry funny at times. Like, there were definitely laugh out loud moments in the movie.
Sure, yeah.
But there were definitely moments where I was like, I can't stand this kid. Like, he's just, and I get it. Like, it makes, we were talking about it beforehand, and you're like, this kind of makes sense, which I definitely point that out a fair amount, but still, like, he bugged me. He rubbed me the wrong way for some reason in the course of it all. But yeah, so the only other thing I've seen Ezra Miller in, to go back to what you're saying, he's in the Fantastic Beasts in some capacity. So,
oh, that's right. Yeah. But I didn't really, I think I like stopped midway through those movies. Like, I didn't even like finish either one of them.
They're a mess. So yeah. I think they're done too. So
yeah, it's whatever. Tough there. Who had the better Batman fight scene, Ben Affleck or Michael Keaton?
I don't think it's a question. Like Batflex was nice, cool. You know, thanks for showing up and everything. But Keaton stole the show, man, in every capacity. And that first fight scene that not the Bruce Wayne fight scene, the first Batman fight scene is next level. It was amazing. It's the moment of the movie.
It might be one of the best Batman fight scenes that we've seen to date. And how they used Keaton and kind of lived or stayed true to his era in that movie, only using the grappling gun and not really having too many other tricks up his sleeve other than like hand-to-hand combat. Thought that was very well done. Again, the use of the grappling gun when he's pulling guys left and right, in and out. That's amazing stuff there. You know, mm-hmm. That's like, again, some of the best stuff that I think I've seen from Batman. But I really liked the Batflex scene there. You get him on the bike, you get him in that really sick gray and light blue bat suit there, which we haven't seen yet. I thought it was really cool. Again, also really cool use of the grappling gun. He uses a little bit more firepower in this, but you know, I don't know about that. But you get him, you know, throwing out the strip spike there to kind of avert the kids and get the car, you know, change it off there. So I don't know. I thought it was some cool stuff.
Yeah,
what I will say was interesting, though, that both of these scenes were in daylight. And how often can you say that Batman fights in daylight?
It doesn't happen often. But the Keaton thing was it was in like that place in that Russia. It was like it was indoors.
Well, yeah, but they break out eventually, though, for the Zod fight, you know, when he's like, don't die. Like, you don't often see Batman fighting in broad daylight.
No, 100%. Yeah, it's funny, as I was actually reading the Nightwing issue this week, they were talking about, like, why are you guys out in daylight? I just read something recently, like a Batman-related thing recently that had that. That's funny that you bring up that point.
But I thought that was cool from a visual aspect, is that you really get to see, particularly with the Batfleck and his suit there, I thought that really showed it off nicely.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, because you probably wouldn't catch the blue if we're dealing with a night scene. It would be very difficult to see, at least. But yeah, it was. You're right. That scene was good, and he also got a good laugh with the lasso of truth at the end of the whole Batfleck.
Oh yeah, you got to use that in there too. And it was, yeah. Again, she. I mean, I forgot to put Wonder Woman in there too as a cameo because it was just so quick. She was in and out like a fiddler's elbow. You know, it was just like, you didn't really see her.
Yeah, she was the first. She was like the not counting Affleck. She was like the first one. So very easy to forget. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. What was the most rewatchable moment or rewatchable scene?
I mean, it's the Keaton fight scene. I think. I mean, Supergirl's fight scene was definitely number two. No questions asked. I loved what they did with her here. I really like this character a lot.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job with her. I loved it. And I loved it for a couple of other reasons too, which we'll get into in a little bit. But that, yeah, I'm with you. I thought Sasha Cali, who looked great in the suit, I might add. There's a couple photos of her running around there on the internet of taking some shots before she was like, you know, in her studio or in her trailer. Good for her, you know. she works hard for it.
There you go.
But yeah, all that, you know, we mentioned the Batflex street fight. You know, I this isn't a rewatchable moment for me, but I'll give credit where credit is due, where all the newborn babies are falling out of the collapsing building. Didn't enjoy that scene because I have a newborn at home, so it was a little bit more anxiety inducing, but I appreciate the unique way of showing the Flash's powers.
Yes.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of a cool way to do it. Even if it looked wonky, it didn't look good.
Yeah,
but the idea itself, I commend.
The babies looked a little odd there, but they do, like, they have their moments where they do a good job with the Flash's powers. But I think more than, like, not counting the whole flashback stuff, I think more than, like, outside of that, they generally did a good job with the Flash's powers.
Yeah, and it's tough because, like, you know, after you've already gotten X2 and any other fast superhero there, you know, I guess whatever, but. You know, we've seen Superman, I think, has done it in the past, right? But you see these slow down, fast scenes to show, like, there's only so many ways that you can do it. Eternals also had it with their
Air Speedster,
super fast, yeah. But anyway, you know, like, I think it's just tough to show. You, there's only so many things that you can do.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what the movie the Quicksilver scene. It was Days of Future Past was the Quicksilver scene. Yes, that's peak right there. You can't beat that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and the Nick Cage cameo again. Mm. That was something I was unfortunately spoiled on going in. You know, so saw. But despite that, you know, it was still really awesome to see because he got the biggest billing of any of the Superman cameos there, and he got the most time with it fighting off the Spider. Kind of fulfilling all of that lore that we've heard about. Is it Superman Lives? Is that the documentary?
I don't know, but
I think it's that. But the Kevin Smith movie.
It used to be on Hulu, and I remember Tim telling us about it back when our BSM days. Yeah.
So, but it was nice to see that come to life there. So I thought that was really cool. What I wish that they actually got Nick Cage for, but that's, you know, I guess beggars being choosers there. What was your favorite cameo in the same vein? Cameo appearance, and did you have an issue with how they kind of did it too?
So I was surprised by the George Clooney cameo because I feel like when I saw it happen, I was like, I feel like we talked about it in some capacity. So it might have. But when it was happening, I was like, I thought it was going to be Keaton. Actually, I thought the universe was going to be a mess, and it was still Keaton. So I was pleasantly caught off guard there. But Nick Cage was absolutely the best one. Now for me, you're right. Like that, obviously I thought it was a DH Nick Cage. I thought that's all they did or it was him and it was like CGI. I mean, I'm sure he had, obviously you have to have him involved in some capacity, but it was cool. Like it was very cool to see that. And again, I'm watching, I'm like, who is this? Like with the long hair, like who could this be? And I was like, I think he crossed my mind. Like, slightly, but I was like, nah, I can't be him. And then it's like, holy shit, it is Nick Cage. They have his Superman in here. That's amazing. Good for him. Very happy for him. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was nice to see that to come to life. Although, like, they didn't really say anything, right? It was just kind of archived footage or like kind of looking back on a screen, you know, that through that chronosphere thing. I don't know. Some people have some issues with like the AI enhanced Christopher Reeve. I don't really care all that much. People are like, just let him die. You know, just let him live on in peace.
I'd rather it be stock footage of him. I mean, if it's AI if it's AI, I'm not a big fan of it, but if it's CGI, like somehow modified to make it look better or whatever, then it was actually him. And then his family was okay with it. Then I'm okay with it, but no, I'm all set on AI.
It's just a little weird. I mean, that's why we got all these strikes going on. That's why we're getting all these pushbacks. It's the damn AI. They took our jobs. But yeah, so I think that was kind of cool. George Clooney was great. I think he kind of has like a little bit of a renaissance with him as far as kind of becoming lovable. It's almost like my view on Spider-Man 3. It becomes so bad that it's almost good. Like, I think he's almost entering that phase because, you know, we'll talk about this next week when we rank the Batman.
Yep.
Because of course that's what we do on the heels of a Flash movie. but I think he is a great, great Bruce Wayne. Horrible Batman, but he can, especially now, like this current era of George Clooney would be a great Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm very excited to go through that ranking because it's like, you know, there's a couple things to be weighing when we're talking about that character. But yeah, he's a decent Bruce Wayne.
Are there any unanswerable questions?
Yeah. Why do Flashpoint, but not really do Flashpoint? I mean, you and I kind of talked about it in some capacity beforehand, and maybe there are some basic reasons, like we don't want to continue forward with Ezra Miller and everything, but it felt odd. Like, that is an all time Flash comic. Mm-hmm. So to do that and kind of just waste it, and not have like the ending still kind of be ambiguous, which kind of brings us to this tweet that we came across too from always a witty. This is actually a tweet that James Gunn liked, and that we saw some people start getting the rounds a little bit because of that. If my computer could actually respond and pull up the tweet, it would be immensely helpful. This is not
I'll fill the air with some burps for you.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. It's taking its
still
time.
Loading, but this was making the rounds though. Yeah, I saw this earlier.
The ending contradicts the fact that the Brave and the Bold will have a new actor playing Batman. So is it safe to say that the Flash did not end in the new DCU proper, but a different timeline altogether? James Gunn liked this tweet. So it explains some of it all, but it's just like why you wouldn't do Flashpoint. But at the same time, like now you kind of can't do Flashpoint in this.
Right. So unless you get, you know, some time between 10 years or whatever, an established universe, you reintroduce the Flash with a new actor, you know.
And and it's kind of okay because it's more for resetting a universe. But I mean, just, I don't know. And I'm not saying you need to do everything in Flashpoint. There's so much different stuff in Flashpoint that we didn't see here. But like the bones were here and it just kind of, it just threw me off. Like some of the stuff they just kind of went, didn't utilize and all this. Like Thomas Wayne is a Flashpoint story. Like him as Batman. I would love that, but I wouldn't want to trade out what we got from Keaton. It was great. But there's other things just odd.
Could you have Michael Keaton be Thomas Wayne?
You could, but I think...
And not have him be going back to the Batman 89 verse, but it's just a different universe with Thomas Wayne. And it just so happens to be Michael Keaton playing it.
Hey, I'd be open to that, but I think it would bother a lot of people. So yeah. I can't... Yeah. I don't think they could, actually, then.
Yeah, but right. Just, well, this was all about fan service here, so that is true. I think some of the Flashpoint stuff that they touched on was interesting. You see the early... reverse Barry there kind of peeking over the stadium setup of his time traveling, which I actually thought was an interesting way of showing time.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, it didn't look the best, but having it kind of, it's almost similar to Interstellar where like, it's all kind of like a library and you can just kind of push through and find what you wanted. I thought that was an interesting way to do it.
See what, like in some ways, like I don't like, it's not a, like it was an interesting change, but at the same time I was like, you're just gonna ignore Reverse Flash. We're just gonna not do that because that's like, that's a totally different character. It's not Barry Allen, and he's, and this kind of goes into one of our other exit survey questions, so maybe I'll hold off on that for right now. But my other two is, why not tell us who killed Barry's mom?
Mm-hmm.
Because that just gets left. And then why did anyone think the CGI for the Chronosphere was okay?
Yeah, again, we get that explanation from the director, right? Saying like, oh, it's supposed to be kind of wonky, but that feels like, again, kind of cleaning up a mess after the fact there.
Yep.
But, you know, just on the Barry's mom stuff and like not really doing Flashpoint, like maybe this was meant to be a trilogy of its own right when it started out and when it was written and when it got finalized, and then everything happens with Ezra Miller, then everything happens with James Gunn, and then everything else happens, right? Then it's like, all right, we're not gonna get too far into it. We're not gonna get into the weeds. Let's just keep this as self-contained as possible. So we'll have Ezra, you know, we'll have two Barry Allens. We're not gonna introduce a villain, and we'll won't explain away Barry's mom. And I think that's like, all right, that's fine. Yeah,
and when you put it all that way, it makes perfect sense.
Just kind of put a bow on it, right, and just be done with it.
Unfortunately.
Do you think this movie would have been better if the trailer didn't reveal so much, i.e. Supergirl, i.e. Keaton Batman, i.e. the fight on Russia?
Yeah, I mean, this where some of this Batfleck. Stuff is tough. It's like you have to put some of this out to get people excited because like you and I would have seen this movie no matter what. But at the same time, you put out like the average person, if it's like The Flash, it's like, okay, maybe I'll see it, maybe I won't. But then you say Batman's in it and it's going to be Michael Keaton for the first time in, you know, 30, 40 years, whatever it is. It's like, wait a second, really? So it's hard. But I think you, because you told me, I forgot this, but the first Supergirl fight scene was originally in one of the trailers.
All of the stuff out in the sunlight battle scene in Russia, once they break free. I can't tell. Yeah, maybe it's from the moment they break free from the prison and they spliced it with the General Zod battle. So maybe it was like a little bit of both there. But you see all of that with, you know, Batman with Keaton's hand going up over the sun and then revealing Supergirl. And he's like, now our next move is don't die. You see General Zod jumping up onto the bat plane there and kind of pulling him out of it, you know, and that whole death scene. You see a good portion of it. You see him falling down to the ground to his knees after. So it's like you get all these allusions to it. And again, you see some of the best stuff of Batfleck in his cool suit there. So I don't know. Like this movie right now is tracking to make less than 300 million, which would be so much, like right around 300 million. That's less than Shazam 2. That's less than Black Adam. That's less than a lot of movies that have come out in the DC that haven't been good. Now, these are just tracking numbers. They could exceed that. But I have to wonder, with the success of Across the Spider-Verse and being like the word of mouth and just the fan excitement, this movie had a lot of those like, oh my God, moments in the theater, but they were just spoiled. And I wonder if that would have been better to draw into the second week and have that carryover effect just through that word of mouth and that hype, if it wasn't spoiled six weeks in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Because I agree. Like, you do need to sell this movie, and The Flash probably wasn't enough, especially given Ezra's off screen stuff to do it on his own.
I
don't know.
Yeah. There was a lot, like, in fairness to this movie, there was a lot going into it that set it up to fail from a box office standpoint. So
also just the month, right? The month that it's in is huge.
Oh, because it's June.
It's Transformers. It's Rise. Oh. It's Across the Spider-Verse. You know, this whole month is just, there's a lot of movies coming out.
Yeah, that's true as well. It's just there was definitely a lot going against it, in fairness. Again, it's a good movie, but I think that, like, when you look at some of the external factors, it was like, this team was like set up to fail in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And in theory, a movie like The Flash and the way that it's built, like, shouldn't really matter what other movie's up against it, you know? But
I agree. Yeah. It's, for me, it's
this is where, like, we're at now.
It's a fair point, but it's for me, it's a lesser factor than some of the other things we're talking about. But yeah. So anyways, what will age the best from this movie?
That The Flash didn't save the day. That the heroes died. We had Batman dying. We had Supergirl dying, even though they did come back to a degree. Those are heroes that we had an emotional connection to. So unlike in, I don't know, what other movie where heroes are, Multiverse of Madness, where we get the whole council there, the Illuminati council, and they all die immediately, but we're just introduced to them. So it's like, oh, I don't really care anyway. But this one, you're definitely connected to Batman, and you see this emotional connection. I think Sasha Cawley does a good job of pulling you in and kind of rooting for her early on. Mm-hmm. So you feel that connection to her, and they don't come back to life. I think that's great. So the stakes are there.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great point. For me, it's probably Keaton, but I think But like Sasha Cawley, like, I think that they have to utilize her going forward. And I think we saw that there were talks of that already. Like, she was definitely one of the bright spots of this movie. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and I liked the emotional family moments were well done. I think that it got me tapped into it. You know, I bought into it, so I think that worked. And it broke up, some of that shoot 'em up kind of super actiony, for the sake of action type of stuff that comes with comic book movies. So that was a good emotional anchor.
Barry's mom was great. She really was. Like, the writing around her and the way she kind of went about things. It was the end where, like, he had to say goodbye when you had to go back into the grocery store. Like, I got emotional in that moment. That was awesome stuff.
In the end, it all comes down to a nice home cooked Italian meal. Pasta explains everything in this movie. Pasta can, whether it's Michael Keaton explaining time travel and the way time works, it's all works.
And I had pasta right before the show, so there you go.
Got a carb load. Mm-hmm. I'm actually thawing out some meat sauce as we speak, so that's good.
Look at that.
What will age the worst from this movie?
The CGI. It's not even close. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have anything? I have something else that I want to talk about, but like, CGI is the clear cut winner.
Younger Barry Allen would be a close second there. I thought he was, again, to your point earlier, like, he's annoying. He's supposed to be annoying, so it's effective, but still annoying.
Yeah, so much of him. That's the thing, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I think if there was less of him, he wouldn't have bothered me at all. So much, but what else?
Everything, just what I mentioned, everything with the trailer already is aged poorly, just aside from what I mentioned. But even like the I'm Batman or you want to get nuts, let's get nuts, like those moments, they were all ruined in promos.
Yeah.
You know, so when you hear them now, you're just like, all right, it sounds cool. But if you didn't hear that or didn't know that was going to happen and you get the line, you're like, do the line. You're like, yes, I got the line. But that now you're just waiting for it. Like, oh, here's the line. Yeah. Let's get nuts. Okay.
That's fair. That's a fair way to look at it. Yeah.
Did Michael Keaton's lisp get worse?
I don't.
Did he always have that pronounced of a lisp?
I honestly didn't notice it.
Oh, you got to listen to the nuts line. It's all over it.
Huh. It didn't. I didn't catch it at all.
I knew he always had. He always had like a smaller lip. I just didn't know that it was this pronounced.
If I ever rewatch this, because I don't know if I will. This does not have a whole lot of
rewatchability. Oh, I'll definitely rewatch it when it comes out. Yeah, but I mean, it's inconsequential. I get that.
Okay, so the other thing that's going to age poorly for me from this movie. And look, this is a personal thing, and I think I'm pretty good about not complaining about too much about like, oh, that you know, this is how it was in the comics, mm-hmm. and then they go and do this in the movies or a show, because we don't always want the same thing. Yes, we want certain stories to be respected, absolutely, and like character traits maybe too, but by and large, it's like, let's make it its own thing on the big screen. I'm just happy to have someone else playing with the characters in a different medium. But man, to just like to not have Reverse Flash in this story at all, where like he is the villain, feels so weird to me. I was like, okay, I know there isn't any marketing around it. I know we're seeing another Barry, but like there's got to be Reverse Flash in here, right? And maybe that's just me being like naive too hopeful now to like that news wouldn't leak out in some capacity, but it's just like, man, how do we get nothing? This is Flashpoint. This is a huge, huge DC story from the past 20 years. Like, how do you just not do that? And then again, you don't even know who killed Barry's mom in this story. Like that is very much a thing that's addressed in Flashpoint. So, and look, Flashpoint, the comic is very different from everything we got here. There's so much stuff that's different, and I'm cool with it. It doesn't bother me one iota. I'm here for it all. But those are some like tentpole kind of things that I'm just like, how is that ignored in all of this? If you've logicked it out a little bit already, but it still bothers me.
No, I hear you. I hear you on that. How about some best performances by a side character? There were a lot of side characters here. You know, we can include some cameos in there if you'd like. But who's your pick? Who do you got?
It's number one with a bullet is Supergirl. To me, like, I mean, you know, there are the cameos is kind of different, but Supergirl, she was outstanding. She like Kara Zor-El is very different from Kal-El. Like he is obviously like, you know, Boy Scout, like 2.0 or whatever.
She's more vengeful.
She is more jaded. Like she has been through a lot of shit, and she's also like has to deal with like a lot of times like, oh, you're Superman's cousin. Like, you know, that's how a lot of people know her, especially on Earth. Mm-hmm. So there's a Supergirl story that I talked about on TLDR a while back. I think it's Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow, I believe. And you kind of get that same vibe of her, like that character was represented well in this movie, just looking at that story. And I don't read a lot of Supergirls, but that's an interesting story. If somebody wants to go back and wants to go back and read that. But yeah, I really loved Callie's portrayal of Kara.
Yep. And if maybe James Gunn was to recast the role, maybe you could get Britney Spears and you would have not Supergirl, but not yet Superwoman. And that there's your movie right there.
Is that like
I'm not a girl. I'm not a girl.
Okay. I was going to say, it's gotta
not
be
yet a woman.
No,
a little bit. Okay.
I think for the listeners, they'll appreciate it more than me, unfortunately.
Henry Allen, shout out to Henry Allen. Thought he did good. This was a recasting from Billy Crudup to Ron Livingston from Justice League. There, look, they actually look a little bit similar. So you might not have noticed that, but
wow.
I thought again, Ron Livingston did a great job, kind of carrying that emotional beat as well as the mother there who I'm blanking on her name, but
Nora,
she did a good job as well. Nora, thank you. Batfleck, love. I mean, Batfleck's my Batman. I hate to spoil next week's episode, but that's I on surface level, that's my favorite Batman. I would like to I'll have to do a little bit more research before I settle on that, but also shout out Gary, Barry's roommate there. Nice cameo, you know, nice little appearance. He probably had the funniest line in the whole movie. Funniest moment in the movie for me is when he has the tattoo of who's the actor there that's playing to the Future.
Yeah, their world's Marty McFly.
Yeah, but it's a real actor though, and he has an upside down photo of it. Then he lifts up his leg, and it's just whole bunch of man leg and thigh just out there. It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, everybody loved Gary.
Gary, it was fun. It was a fun moment. Who lost the movie though, Nick?
The CGI team. This isn't not even a conversation, right? Or do you feel different?
Yeah, I mean, Ezra Miller is a big loser because he kind of lost everyone's money on this, but that feels like a little on the nose. But my choice is James Gunn, Tom Cruise, Stephen King, and anyone else who was paid to send the same stock message on their social media accounts saying this was the best movie ever.
It's just so not true.
Because again, we didn't even buy it. Like you said, like we're like, this, something's up with this.
I will say the Gunn praise for it definitely got me more than Tom Cruise. But I think we got Gunn and then we got the Tom Cruise stuff, and that was like, that's what helped. Because if it was just James Gunn saying it and then I saw this, I would say, oh, okay,
Right. But you also have to take it with the caveat that it's in his best interest to sell the movie.
Yeah, 100. I mean, it's not. Yeah, of course. Like now we know. Like we got to just go with it and hope that he does well and don't think about those other kinds of things.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that's right. Who won the movie?
I mean, Michael Keaton, 100%. I mean, that was comes back and he gets his kick-ass scene as much as his stunt double, not him. But Nick Cage too. I mean, hey, the guy wanted to play Superman. He finally got to play Superman.
Yes, absolutely. I would just go give a shout out to all the Batmen, but specifically Keaton. But I thought Batfleck was great. Again, I had a little bit of love for George Clooney. When he stepped out of that car in that smooth suit, he had that silver hair. You know, I could see him as an older Bruce Wayne. It worked for me.
There you go. There's your Terry McGinnis Bruce Wayne story.
Yeah, but also maybe The Rock won this movie. We just talked about last week how he took some massive L's. People were saying Black Adam was a massive flop and all this stuff, and he broke up the DC and left and right. And we were quick to pile on as well, but you know, maybe he can sell a movie here. Because maybe if these people aren't showing up in the theaters like we're expecting for DC and they keep underperforming, and he happens to be the movie that performed the best of the underperforming bunch, then maybe more can be attributed to him than the DC name.
Yep, or you could just be polishing a turd.
Yeah, it could be. It was a long way to get to that point, but I'm just saying an argument could be made.
Yes, I think that's fair.
All right, so Nick gave it an 83. I gave it an 85. That's a CMM aggregate score of carry the 184. 84 there.
We've had some round numbers lately. We've been on point with our grades.
We've been doing quick math. Yeah, thank you. It's more just finding the middle one. We've been close and just like, all right, subtract one. We're there. That's good. Mm-hmm. So 84. So maybe go see this movie. Maybe not. Maybe wait till you see it at home. But it's either way, I think it's enjoyable.
Yeah, I think it's a fun theater experience still, but it's not something you like have to get, you know, moving on to go see, unless you're worried about spoilers. Because, well, again, there's a lot of stuff.
No, everything's been spoiled anyway. So just go see it and enjoy the Batman die. All right, so that is the Flash exit survey there, but let's switch gears, shall we?
It's morphin' time.
Choo choo, bitches.
Nick, I went golfing for the first time this year on Friday. Brookside Country Club, very, very nice course in Bourne. Although, I it's been about a full calendar year since I played. So not only was I rusty, but I was unaware to the inflation that hit the golf courses as well. This course used to be like maybe $80 on a Friday weekend rate, $96.
Oh, really?
$96. It's not that nice. It's not a $100 course, you know, but nevertheless, it was fun going out with the father-in-law, playing some golf, pumping some drives. Well, I was with my 3-wood, a little more accurate with the 3-wood, but 260, right. 270 with the 3-wood. Like that's
nice.
That's some muscle right there. That's some dad meat, if you will.
Ah, yes. And it was also your first Father's Day.
Yeah, first Father's Day was nice. I mowed the lawn like a father would, a nice high white top socks. But yeah, so did that, and then went over to my dad's house, had a little barbecue, went over to Julia's grandfather's house and said hello to him and got introduced to the baby there and everything.
Oh.
So yeah, all good stuff, you know?
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. Well, happy Father's Day, your first Father's Day.
Yeah, thank you. It's weird. It's weird, like, after being on the sidelines for 35 years of being, you know, like, it's not my holiday, and suddenly, like, people want to do things with me. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's something. I'm not there yet. I'm not in any rush to get there yet, but I did celebrate Father's Day. Lauren's parents came up and hung out in Nashville for the day, so that was some fun stuff. But otherwise, a pretty, like, tame week for me by and large.
This was one of the slower weekends on the calendar, huh?
Yes, yes, it's nice. Well, because you know, July is about to get real crazy, and you're going to be a part of that too, as you know. So it's
absolutely. You can't see it here, but I got it right next to my next to my desk here. I got a return here.
Look at that. Talk about
this is just the save the date, or is this the actual invitation?
That's the actual invitation. It came with other stuff.
Wesleyan Hills. Yeah, no, it did. I got it here.
Yes. Yeah.
I got it somewhere. I got a reply with it.
Yep. As for this week in the DSG, Dork, Mac and Goo, and us, we're all talking the Flash. PCP, as far as I know, is still on their protest. Yep, apparently.
Dead as Batman.
Even the writer's strike doesn't want to deal with them. TLDR, I mentioned earlier, Superman Unchained and Harrower.
There you go. From
Studios. And then I've heard it both ways. They're doing season 6, episode 4 of Psych this week for the streamers. You can find Doc on Twitch at Batcracker, Shime at Shime Time, and then Dork does all their video game playing over on the hashtag Dork YouTube page.
Oh, yeah. And as for next week, we're going to be counting down our favorite Batman, doing a rankings.
Yes. Yes.
Very top rankings of all the Batman. Now, while we're discussing all with this grunting in the background, it's Batman, Bruce Wayne, and Batman combined. The best of both worlds.
Yeah, I would say we're just going to do the best Batman, ranking the best Batman, like period. And then it's
but that includes the Bruce Wayne as well.
Yes, I think like it's got to be
in the equation. Yeah.
Yeah, I will absolutely be including their portrayal of Bruce Wayne in my equation.
100%. Okay. All right. I like that. Just need to get my head on straight here. You know, this is big stuff that we're working with.
It's totally fair. Totally fair. I may even go so far, Wes, as to do like point score for Batman, like rank them as Batman and then rank them as Bruce Wayne and then see where the math adds up as a way to help.
I like your thinking. Yeah. I like your thinking a lot there. That might even mean that we create a Google spreadsheet for this, which means we're fully in it to win it, which means you definitely have to tune in. Dare I say, at the same bad time, same bad place?